Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
All right, welcome everybody to another fine episode of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And of course, if you want to see more about our show, you can go to chatterboxgameshow.com. Unfortunately, I don't necessarily update the site as often as I would like.
And my name is Rich. I had my microphone off. I'm a fail.
You are the douche.
I am fail.
This is what happens when we record a show not at the studio.
Yes. Although I have to say that, you know,
Is Ara's microphone on?
I'm getting very soothing vibes tonight.
Sitting on the floor?
Sitting on the floor.
We are going to keep the same format as usual, even though this is a podcast-only show.
Attempt to.
Which most people don't even realize because they weren't listening live to know that it wasn't live to begin with. We are going to be on normal time next week. We don't really expect any changes in the time slots or anything, so that's good news. That basically just means I still get to watch Heroes on Monday nights.
Yep.
So this week, there's a bunch of stuff we want to talk about. Starting off, I like to do the whole what have you been playing bit, and luckily lately, I've been playing quite a few things. Aside from the ordinary Catan and watching my roommate play Halo 3, I've also been playing some Mario Galaxy. Didn't even talk about that last week.
I didn't.
Yeah, I saw that for about like 5 seconds at work today, actually. Some people were playing it.
Well, too bad we didn't get to play before the show, but we also, right before we started recording, all three of us went downstairs to play
some Olympics.
Mario and Sonic Olympics. Which is getting really mixed reviews, by the way.
Yes, and I am actually, interestingly enough, feeling very ambivalent about it.
Sonic should be faster.
Well, with all due respect, we only played three events.
Sonic should be faster.
Perhaps we should all get a feel for this at least right before the show. So no, we played.
I think that's more than enough, and that will segue nicely into.
So what three events
my
did we play?
It
ended with
trampoline. Trampoline was
fun. We started
fun.
Off with some swimming,
which was terrible.
And we also had a triple jump. Triple jump historically has been one of my favorites in track and field games.
Yeah, it doesn't really work.
I gotta say, the jumping events in Mario and Sonic at the Olympics are difficult because it just says you have to lift the remote, right?
Like, but not too hard.
Shake it upwards, but not too hard. But it gives you no practice period to actually test it with. And you have no idea what too hard is because some people flail their body, right? And they go to their physical maximum.
Yep.
But really, just a little jerking of the remote will pretty much do the job. So
that was my main beef with it. But I would extend that to pretty much the whole game. There just doesn't seem to be enough feedback about what you're doing right and wrong. Like if you maybe jump a little too early or too late, right? I mean, it's very hard to tell if you're too early or too late or by how much. And the game could have very easily told you those things.
Yeah. Well, one of my problems with it, very much like what you're saying, basically it's kind of like WarioWare, where learning how to play it is one of the hardest parts of the game. And part of what makes it challenging.
Yeah. I really didn't enjoy the part where the 11 pages of instruction before the actual event. I think that if they really design it right, then they should be able to communicate what you're supposed to do right before you do it in a way that doesn't take up 11 screens.
Well, admittedly, the swimming did have a lot of
instructions. That was so confusing. There's like 18 different types of how to swim depending on what character
you have.
Yeah,
and really all of that was just completely a waste because it'll show you what motion you need to
do. But then there was some weird thing with the B button that I had no idea. And Alon's like, you got to press the B button. I'm like, what are you talking about, the B button?
The B button
we read these instructions, something about a B button pressing while swimming.
What I thought was interesting is amidst those 11 pages of instructions, it led us to believe that there's going to be, the crawl stroke, the breaststroke, the whatever stroke. And then Sonic had a stroke that wasn't even mentioned.
Yeah, I was underwater running, but Sonic wears a life jacket, and he just kind of flaps
Sonic
around.
Sonic apparently
it was pretty,
we all know he
pretty
can't
lame.
Swim.
Yeah. All right, well, it's been getting mixed reviews. Some people say it's really lame. Other people say it's one of the better games, and they all compare it to Wii Sports, although I don't know.
Well, here's what I like about it.
Sports.
I always thought that the idea of like a track and field game, and of course the original track and field games that were out on the Nintendo. I mean,
on the
that's
NES Power Pad.
Are you talking about
thing?
Konami Track and Field or NES Power Pad Track and Field?
No, Power Pad.
Oh,
business.
The Power Pad is. It's all about the Power Pad.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
it's fun.
I never actually played Power Pad games, but I mean, the track and field games. I mean, they're very basic and they're very fun games, right? So, like, I think there's a logical extension. My problem is that, you know, besides the fact that the game doesn't give you enough feedback, it's the same old thing with every Wii game that I have. They have the same problem, which is, like, yeah, there's just not enough. You don't get enough of a sense of, like, what you're doing with, you know, jostling, you know, the controller around in space.
You mean there's no physical feedback?
And, well, no, not necessarily. I mean, that would be nice. I mean, but, you know.
Rich had this complaint that when you're playing Metroid
First
Prime
person
3,
shooters, yeah, like, it's
you don't know where
no
the edge of the screen is and where
of,
to stop moving your hand to aim.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's the whole inaccuracy, or I should say the, not even so much inaccuracy, it's more of a lack of precision. Right, that you have with just the nature of the Wii controller as an input.
So wouldn't that be inaccuracy?
No, accuracy and precision are not actually the same thing.
Yeah, it's precision.
Oh, yeah.
It's a precision issue.
Okay, yeah.
But, I mean, I guess this is something that we've been talking about since, you know, back when it was called the Revolution.
Right, right. So, you know, same problem as always, right? Nothing new here. Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. It's all right, I guess.
I really don't think you got enough of a feel for it to really judge if you like it yet, but your complaints are valid.
Maybe that's why they didn't keep the name Revolution, because it really hasn't revolutionized anything, and they figure...
It's just a GameCube with a new controller.
Yeah, they're like, let's call it something different, because they're going to harass us for calling it revolutionary, even though, I don't know.
I do need to say a bunch of great stuff about Mario Galaxy. One of the complaints that I saw, you know how Joystick, well, you probably don't realize this, but Joystick does what they call the Nega Review now, where they take a bunch of, like, pseudo-negative comments and put them in one big post, and try to be like, hey, not all games are super fantastic, wonderful, joy. Like, some people had some things to say that were slightly critical. And so
That's really interesting. I think that's really cool. Because really, you know, what are you learning about a review that says the game's awesome?
Well,
not much.
Also, I mean, they only do it for games that are pretty much universally accepted as awesome.
Yeah.
So like
that's
Halo
even
3
better.
And Mario Galaxy. And they're taken completely out of context because it's just one line.
Oh,
and,
so
and they mix it in this one line.
So they rely on distortion of the truth.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be a joke, and it is kind of funny. But I mean, some of the complaints you can't really misconstrue. Someone's like, "Well, there's not really a lot of new gameplay in this. It's just the same old, same old." And a lot of people, and I bet you can attest to this.
That's a cop out complaint, well, though, really. But go ahead.
Isn't it true that a lot of reviewers will review something after only playing a very small portion of the game?
Well, they'll never admit to that, of course. But I mean, consider the logistics involved. Let's say you're a freelance writer.
Like Ara has been.
Like, you know, I have been in the past. Okay, so, you know, you'll probably get, like, paid, what, like, $100 for a review that's, like, I don't know, maybe, like, 900 words.
That's a lot, dude.
Right? So, you know, how long does it take to write 900 words? Or let's be a little conservative. Let's just say you only have to write about 700 words.
Are you a fast typer or a slow typer?
Right. Well, let's see, like, how long is that going to take? Like, half an hour if you're really fast, maybe an hour?
Hour.
You know,
I'd like to think if you put some effort into your work that's going to get published, that it's more than an hour of work.
Well, you spend two hours on writing a review for
a game. Okay, so 2 hours, right? So that's like $50 an hour. Yeah. And that's not counting playing the game, right? So how long are you going to play the game before you decide that you spent more time than it's worth to do your job? Well, I'd wager not too long. And so, you know.
So you're probably not going to play the game for 20 hours before reviewing it.
No, I mean, unless someone really loves the game anyway, they're not going to. And this is one of the problems that's endemic of, you know, the press in general. And they're not going to admit to it, but yeah, you know what? Like, somebody, it's something that, I mean, if you do it and you really love doing it and you do it not to get paid, then that's one thing, you know, and you're probably more apt to spend the appropriate time to give it the respect that it's due. But at the same time, I mean, if you do it as your job, yeah, I mean, like, reviewers have so many games to go through, and they have so little time, and they're not really paid that well, considering the amount of time it takes to do
this
stuff.
Well, I think video game criticism is also sort of a different animal, because, like, a movie, it will guarantee
you
take you 1 to 2 hours to watch,
yeah.
And you're done. You've soaked it in.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, you review a restaurant, you eat your food, you go home, maybe you don't get the whole menu, but you get the whole experience.
Yep.
Video game's slightly different. And so someone's like, well, there's not a whole lot of new gameplay. And honestly, for the first 20 stars or so in Mario Galaxy, which I presume...
But that argument in and of itself, that point, I think is just total crap.
Yeah.
Because
I'd agree.
The criticism of a game, that, and this is levied, like, rather often, actually, But it's just, I don't think it's a valid criticism, because if
saying
you really
the game
think,
is bigger, so it's more difficult to critique.
No. Saying that the
it's
game
more of the same.
The game is, you know, well, this is not really anything interesting because it's we've seen this before.
Oh.
You know, I mean, there are a rather limited number of, you know, types of interactions that you can have in the game, especially if you're just using a standard controller.
But the Mario games are known for introducing something new pretty much every time, and that's why I've always loved them.
Well, they did introduce something new. They got that crazy little planet thing going on, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, but it's whether you're walking in a straight line or you're walking in a curved line, that's essentially all it introduces. But, well, at first, and that's the thing, if
right.
you only play it for 2 hours, you only play about, you know, 15, 20 stars through, then that's what you're going to get. I felt, okay, there's really nothing new. And then the more I played, because really, in a situation like this, walking on the spheres is a pain in the ass. Because sometimes you're pushing forward, but you're coming towards yourself with the screen.
It could get a little confusing.
Oh, that sounds kind of weird.
That I played it.
Basically, you can be pressing a direction on the joystick, on the nunchuck, and at one part of the game, you'll be moving in one direction from a certain angle, right? And under a different condition, you'll be walking a different direction at a different time, pressing the same direction on the
yeah,
control
that
stick.
Sounds that kind sense? Of retarded.
So it's difficult to follow. It's all based on basically the relativity of your motion
but
because
you,
of the spheres.
But do you mean to say that, you know, after you get to past a certain point in the game, it starts getting really interesting?
Yeah, well, my point is that they spent, like, usually you'll get one small tutorial level per, you know, unique mechanic.
Okay.
Right? If you need to learn how to jump up the sides of walls, you're going to have one little level that introduces you to jumping up sides of
mm-hmm.
walls until it implements it in a way that could actually be fun rather than just educational. And so a very large number of levels are very simple and I think set out on purpose to just be tutorial. And it's very clear that the first planet you're on is just to learn how to walk around a sphere and run after rabbits.
Yeah.
Right. But beyond that, I think that they dumbed down the first, you know, like 10 to 20 stars because they knew that it would be an introduction of a difficult mechanic of just walking around,
mm-hmm.
which is, it's a pain to get used to. But once you get used to it, they start introducing other things that are really interesting. And I liked it. I mean, there was one time I jumped from, there are parts in the game where you're on like a flat world, like a flat planet, so to speak.
Right.
But then the underside of it is curved, so you can fall off into an abyss. There are other parts where you can keep walking around, and so then you're on the bottom of whatever this planet or object is that you're standing on. So one level I was on this, you know, floating object in space that you could go on the underneath, on the underside of. You jump off of it, and you get pulled back to it, and you become basically orbiting this small object. But then there's a couple other ones around. So you jump off one, like if you duck and run and duck and jump, you can do like a long jump. So like I do that to jump over to the other one, and I don't land right on it, so like I orbit around it, and then I swing around that, and I connect to a third one, and I start orbiting around that, and it was just really fun. That, I mean, it wasn't really part of the game, but then there's the part where you link to like these swing stars.
Oh yeah.
And so it becomes sort of a 2D game at some point, and then I mean, there's the stuff like in Mario 64, or rather, it wasn't Mario 64, I think, as well as Mario Sunshine, where basically it goes back to old school style gaming,
mm-hmm.
and you're in like the 2D kind of levels. And
yeah.
Well, all that sounds plenty innovative to me.
Well, that's my point. Like after you get through the first couple hours,
then
it starts introducing these new things. And
but
I
mean,
feeling,
you just kind of have to learn.
Yeah. I think these guys are pirating the game off the internet, and they want to get in their review fast so that they'll be the first one to review Mario, so they can get on Mario or Metacritic and continue getting free games from the companies.
I'm sure there's plenty of that
Metacritic.
Too.
Yeah.
So I think that's what happens is people rush to get these review out just because they want to be the first on this big game.
Yeah. Well, let me mention one other thing about this, and then I'll shut up about that anyway, is that, you know, it's like, innovation has value, right? But innovation isn't particularly valuable all by itself. I mean, just because, you know, the funny thing about a lot of reviewers or a lot of reviews that are written is that, you know, they will complain that, you know, such and such game is nothing new and we've seen it all before. But then when they see a game that's really radical in terms of innovation, oftentimes they'll find something else to complain about. And so in a way it seems rather hypocritical.
Yeah, I mean, I think that also depends a lot on the person actually giving the review. Some people are just negative in general. But
right. But my point is that really, like, you know, innovation is all by itself isn't actually all that valuable, right? I mean, it's interesting to
me. It's hugely valuable, provided that the innovation isn't boring.
Well, that's the
yeah.
thing, right? It, like, innovation is not a sufficient condition for having a really interesting game. You can't just do something that's new. You have to do something that is really, really interesting. And, you know, if there's something new about it, then you get a, you know, you get a few bonus points, right? But it's not like the essence.
Well, I would argue it's difficult to be interesting and not new.
Well, I guess we get into a semantics discussion at that point.
Well, I mean,
look at
Halo 3. It's pretty much Halo 2, but it's still fun.
Yeah. Interesting, though, is not a way I would describe it.
I don't know. I mean, it depends what you mean by interesting.
All right. Well, let me put it this way, right? I mean, you can present things in a way that you don't have to make like an innovative mechanic necessarily. You don't have to do something like reinventing the wheel, right? But at the same time, you know, using a lot of like the basic gameplay structures that have been tried and true, you can still present things to the player that surprise them in ways that are very positive, right? And that's what makes games really good.
All right, and on that note, we actually went a little bit long. We're going to go to break, as always, and we'll be back.
Welcome back, guys. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio with Alon,
Rich,
me, Ara, and yes, of course, it's Rich.
We messed it all up.
He starts with Alon, so clearly he's not saying his own name.
I mean, I can understand your exuberance, Rich, especially considering what we've got in store for you later on.
Twice now on introductions.
Introducing himself failed because his mic was off the first time around.
Yeah.
No, it was actually really interesting that we talked about what we did last segment, because I completely independently prepared this other material that I want us to talk about, and I think it relates a lot actually to what we were just saying.
Before we get into that, I want to review something that we talked about last week, which will help us with this next discussion.
Go for it.
In part, at least. We mentioned Call of Duty 4 and the trouble that my roommate was having getting the game to work.
Now, yeah.
Rich, did he just get the game that day or was it the day before?
I think he got it that day.
Okay, so
maybe it was the day before. I don't know.
It was kicking him out, basically. Every time he would join a game, you know, he would go into the joining area, the game would start, and as soon as it starts, it would boot him out as if he was kicked.
Yep.
And he calls up Microsoft, and I was there when he did the phone call. He didn't believe me. I told him call Microsoft. Then one of his online friends doesn't live with him, you know, doesn't take his rent money. No, one of his online friends tells him, oh, you should call 1-800 for my Xbox. Well, then he breaks out the phone and calls him. And so he gets on the phone call with some girl who apparently didn't know what was going on because we all understand how a call center works. So, he tells her about it, and she's like, oh, no, like, let's remove your thing, your gamer tag, and then put it back on, or remove your profile and put it back on. And
at least she didn't suggest for him to return it to the store.
So I'm like, well, okay, go through the motions, but that's not really going to help. And for some reason, we hadn't considered trying my gamer tag to play the game and see what happens. But I remember that some people got kicked from, like, because they were sharing the beta or something, and so their names got kicked or banned. But it didn't seem like it got banned because everything worked, and then he just got kicked once a game started.
Yeah.
But so he talked to this girl, and then while on hold with her, I think that's how it worked anyway, we booted it up with my gamer tag, got into a match, it worked, didn't get kicked. Switched back to his, boom, he's getting kicked every single match. So he talks to her, she puts him on hold, you know, talks to level 2 support, whatever, finally comes back and says, yeah, there's a server problem. They're aware of it. Now, nowhere on Call of Duty's website do they, you know, charlieoscardelta.com, nowhere do they mention it. But you go to the forums, and all these people are having this problem with getting immediately kicked.
Oh,
so
yeah?
He's like, well, what if I change my gamer tag? So he gets them to give him 800 Microsoft points
yeah.
because it costs money if you want to change your gamer tag.
Yep.
But that doesn't fix it because his profile still, I'm sure, has some unique identifier associated with it that's not the gamer tag.
Okay.
So it still fails. And he's getting all pissed off. Today, I come home from work, and apparently he says, and I think you were here for this, Rich.
Yeah.
He said, like, screw it. He just started a whole new Microsoft, you know, Xbox Live
just
account.
Deleted the old one and
got rid of the old
whole
one.
New account.
And Microsoft gave him like 5,000 Microsoft points.
Yeah. Yep.
I guess to restore all his old games or whatever, which he didn't really have. or his, you know, old map data that he downloaded and stuff.
Did they give him gamer points, or did they give him like
5,000
Microsoft
points?
No, Microsoft points,
which is like $62.
Yeah, I want to do that. Yeah,
cash
that sounds
monies.
Like fun.
So maybe we should just like say our gamer tag doesn't work with it, and like con them into giving us 5,000 points, and like
but
make
then you
a new
start
account.
A new account.
Well, I mean, it's a little inconvenient, but I mean that's 5,000 Microsoft points.
Whatever, I totally do it.
But I mean, he also had a series of phone calls with him.
Yeah.
But it just he was getting the word, oh, they're fixing the servers region by region, but nothing on the forum said had anybody saying that there was would fixed. Of course, mm-hmm. if your stuff is fixed, maybe you're too busy playing the game.
Yeah. It's like yes, it works.
And but it was funny to me one that my roommate refused to play with my gamer tag while waiting, but he was willing to change his own gamer tag to play. So that I thought was interesting. And finally, they agree that they're working on it. It still hasn't been fixed. It's been days. And then I read this morning about problems that Call of Duty 3 is having, or Call of Duty 4, excuse me, is having on the PlayStation 3. Not the same problem, just server stability problems.
Yeah.
They're working on that. Maybe all the people are working on that instead of working on Xbox Live, although you'd
That'd
think it'd
be
the other way around.
Because nobody's playing it on the PS3.
Yeah. So, anyway, my point is, apparently they're aware of the problem. It's a very specific problem. They are working on it. It's not just a piece of crap like Team Fortress 2.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. again, Team Fortress 2 on the PC apparently very good.
Has he tried Team Fortress 2 on his new gamer tag? Maybe we'll get on and it'll work flawlessly. Wouldn't that be ridiculous?
I just wanted to mention that. And now, Ari, you want to talk about why games suck in general.
Well, more specifically, I've been thinking about this lately. And let me give you a little background on this. As I've mentioned in the past, I've recently gotten a GameFly subscription, right?
This allows you to play all sorts of games.
So I have like this rather long queue of a whole bunch of games that I'm interested in checking them out just to see if, you know, they're worth buying or not.
Mm-hmm.
And since I don't have my, of my press hookups that I used to, you know, I don't get so many games for free anymore. So I was like, okay, let's do this GameFly thing. And, you know, as I'm wont to do, I try to play the game as quickly as possible and judge it as quickly as possible, whether I want to, you know, keep it or send it back or buy it later or whatever,
mm-hmm.
so that I can get more games more quickly because I can only have one game out at a time. So I just thought that was really interesting because there's a bunch of games I got that I just played for, like, pretty much maybe like 5-10 seconds actually. And I decided, you know what, this is crap, I'm not going to tolerate this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play this game anymore, and I'm pretty sure I'm never going to play it again.
Yet you'll play Project Gotham Racing for hours on end.
Well, it's pretty good.
It's
that's
pretty
a pretty good game.
He only had a couple complaints about PGF.
Only a few. But so I started thinking, you know, about just the question in general. Well, you know, what is it, what makes somebody decide a game is rubbish, right? I like to use that word rubbish just because it's...
Makes you feel more sophisticated?
Well, I mean, you know, I would say crap, but really, I don't know. There's
rubbish
things
sounds
rubbish.
Cool.
Should we
sounds
say it's nice. Bollocks?
But bollocks is
bollocks
nice,
is a
too,
fun word.
You know.
Okay.
But anyway, so here's what happened the other day, right? I got this Mercury Meltdown for PSP.
That sounds terrible.
Right? And I was like, you know what? You know, this is like a labyrinth maze tilting style game, and this, you know, I kind of like that genre.
Not so much maze as it is puzzle-ish.
Yeah, well, this is what I found out, right? I played the first stage, and I'm like, okay. Really, my first inkling was, this is crap. This is rubbish. But I gave it about, like, 20 more seconds, you know? And there's just...
That'll get you through the loading screen.
So, well, I'm talking in terms of
gameplay.
Of
actual
here, right?
gameplay, after
so,
2 minutes of
so,
loading.
So I played the second stage, right? And then I noticed this weird mechanic where it was like, you have to, you know, if your little ball of mercury, like, touches a sharp point, then it, like, splits up into balls.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can change the color of them depending on if you, like, move them under some kind of light or whatever. And then when you put them back together, then, like, the colors add, and it's this weird thing. And
this is a fine example of what we were referring to last segment with innovation.
Yes.
Like, I thought it was actually a really interesting mechanic.
Very innovative.
Everything.
Highly annoying.
Yeah. Interesting, but not fun.
Right. Completely not fun to do. Like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, okay, if this is what's in store, and immediately, you know, especially as a game designer, I just start extrapolating in my mind, you know, okay, moving forward, how is this mechanic going to develop into other things? And what I saw in my mind was just incredibly ugly. So I was like, all right, I've had it with this game, you know? And like a similar thing I did with, I talked about it several weeks ago, that game Grim Grimoire, which was, you know, basically the side view RTS game.
Yeah.
Right? You know, basically I played it up to a point, I actually liked it, and I played it up to a point until I noticed that, you know what? You know, the stages, like the graphics are really beautiful, but like it's just it's too hard to read and I can't zoom out enough. And just for that idiosyncratic reason, just I'm not going to play this game anymore.
I think not zooming out enough in an RTS might be a little bit more than an idiosyncratic.
Yeah, that's
reason.
Pretty
like that's pretty
reason.
Key.
Well, you know, so I was thinking about like, well, you know, what do other people have reasons? What are other people's reasons for stopping to play games? There's obviously the obvious ones, right? Like, if you can't really, like, understand what the game is about, right? If you just don't like it, then, okay, yeah. Like, that's a no-brainer, right?
Well, if it doesn't involve a Hannah Montana license, I stop playing altogether these days.
But, you know, those are the obvious ones. If it's frustrating, sure, right? But I notice myself, more and more, I will kind of, like, categorically discard a game because of, like, one or two very specific things that I noticed that I don't like about them. And I was just wondering maybe, you know, what your guys' experiences are like in terms of those things.
You know what? So I play not so much anymore, but there was time periods when I would play new games very, very often. And I would play them for maybe 5 minutes. Like, I would get an entire game, basically because I was in college pirating everything. I would get a new game and play it for less than the amount of time that I would play if I had gotten a demo of that game. Back then, demos weren't really widely available, but I realized basically all I'm doing is demoing games, so that's why I was all excited about Xbox Live. I could play tons of games as much as I normally play games, just play the demos.
Just
I could
demos.
Play in everything. but it's because nothing grabs me. Like, you got Ace Combat 6 recently, right?
Oh, that's on my list. I played the demo. That was pretty nice. That's it's on my list.
So, like, fine. But look, number six.
Yeah.
I played Ace Combat. I actually played the original Ace Combat on the PlayStation quite a bit.
Yeah.
But didn't play the second, third, fourth, or fifth.
Oh, you missed out on the second one there, buddy.
So,
that was the best one.
I mean, I might have played it a little bit, but essentially, same thing.
Yeah.
And so, I'm really all for it. I mean, I hate to overuse that keyword innovation, but I'm always for that because, you know, at this point, I've played so many games in my life that I really want something new every time. And that's what I love about Mario, that I pretty much always get a new experience. As it's familiar enough to enjoy and play for both nostalgia and familiarity of the control scheme.
Right.
But there's still always something new and interesting in it, so it draws me in. But, I mean, there's a bunch of other game design that goes in, other design elements that go into that game that make it interesting.
Sure,
that
sure.
Series of games. But I play a ton of games that just have nothing interesting. Like, okay, I can climb from a platform to platform and collect coins. Great. I've never done that before. Like, I played, what's the game that Acclaim made that tried to be a Mario 64 killer? Vex?
Vex.
So, like, they made a huge deal out of Vex. I'm like, all right, I love Mario 64. I'm going to play this game.
Yeah. We could probably do a whole show on Vex, I think.
You know a lot about the development history of it, right?
I know a few things, and I don't remember if I mentioned this on the show, but, you know, the Red Star
uses its engine.
Actually uses the same engine
as is
Vex.
Which is weird, since they don't look anything alike.
It's really a testament to the power of the tools that we had. We had really incredible tools, which was rather ironic.
Considering that nobody bought the Red Star because it's pretty much impossible to buy.
Considering that the tools now have basically like disappeared, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, they were. I mean, it was just incredible. You know, it's Vex was a game that was, you know, largely built and implemented by designers, and so was the Red Star. The only difference was that Vex was a kind of like a hopelessly ambitious game.
Yeah. And it turned out to be boring as all hell.
And you know, the Red Star was a lot, way, way tighter in terms of scope. And, you know, that was one of the reasons why it was able to be so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is a good game. But now Vex, and this sort of relates to what we were talking about, one of my concerns is I look at a game like Vex. Clearly, I mean, they talked about, and it was during the time period of Mario 64's success, they wanted to do a lot of the good things from that, make it still a good game, right? Not necessarily a copy.
Right.
But take some of the elements that people find interesting from the Mario 64 game.
Sure.
Yet, all they did was make a 3D world I can run around in and take very much like, hey, in Mario, you collect 8 red coins, and that's one of your tasks. So it's, I think Banjo-Kazooie did this as well.
Right.
Okay.
Banjo-Kazooie is good, though.
It got kind of boring, actually.
I love Banjo-Kazooie.
It was much better than Vex. But
Vex was,
so it has like a side quest. Yeah. Okay, you're going to collect this item. Okay, right. You're also going to collect this type of item. Then you're going to jump on some platforms and go set something off over here and do this. But I don't know, for some reason it didn't grab me in the same way because it, one, the character didn't have the same amount of mobility that Mario has. And it just, I don't know if it felt too cookie cutter or too much of a copycat without anything interesting in it. Like I was just going through motions. Just going through motions kills a game for me at this point. And that's what I felt like with Vex, and it's an example of a game that like maybe had high hopes for or whatever, it just fell short and didn't draw me in, even though I had the expectation that it would. And oftentimes I go into a game thinking it won't, which I think might sort of pre-sacrifice the game.
Yeah, well, the history of the development of that game is rather storied. And I don't know, maybe one day I can wrestle up some of the developers and we can do a show on that.
Perhaps, but what about Rich? Do you... You play a lot of games.
I think the game, the one thing that makes me not play a game the most is, like, when I have to go through 8 pages of text or, like, a 4-minute long cutscene before I play the game.
Ooh, that's why I've only played 2 levels in Paper Mario.
There have been a handful of games where I just shut it off before the game actually even started. I couldn't name what those games were because I never played them. I'll, like, start it and just be like, wow, this is taking way too long.
Yeah,
like,
that's a good point, because I don't understand
Mario and Luigi,
why they do that.
Superstar, whatever, Partners
Superstar
in Time.
Yeah.
It took me forever just to get to the game, and then I just shut it off. I was bored already.
Yeah, you love Final Fantasy.
I don't know, man. It's weird, but...
Another irony is that you loved the setup of Sam and Max.
Yeah, the setup was the coolest part of that game. But it's just, it's... I think that's the one thing most of all that makes me angry. Is when I can't play the game.
Yeah, I just thought of another, which relates to the Assassin's Creed we were talking about. And I've said time and time again that Ubisoft games are chock full of bugs to the point that I can't play them.
Yeah.
Like the Sam Fisher games. What are they called?
The Splinter Cell.
Yeah, Splinter Cell games. Great games, usually. I've enjoyed them a lot. And then they just flat out stop working. The connection breaks between me and my partner playing on a LAN, or it just bugs out. I can't do anything. And this is why I pretty much refuse to play Ubisoft games, and I absolutely refuse to get excited about them. All sorts of people are excited about Assassin's Creed, refuse to think it's going to be a good game.
Even if Jade Raymond is producer?
Oh, I can't.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I think about Ubisoft games, like, oh, that's a great idea. I'd love to play that. And then I realize, oh, wait, they made it, so I'm not even going to be able to play it. That's the sort of thing. When you find bugs in games that... No, I mean, this is a no-brainer. If you find a bug in a game that stops you from playing, obviously you're not going to like it. But it's gotten to the point that I hate the company.
Yeah.
Well,
they made Red Steel, and they hyped that game. So that's just reason enough not to like them.
Well,
entirely.
If you were smart, you would have known that Red Steel was going to suck from the beginning.
Yeah, but they continued to make it and released it, and that was just a terrible... I think that
in their
alone
defense,
is
at least they
enough.
Were nice enough to admit that their Wii selection of like 9 or 11 games at launch pretty much all sucked ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty unfortunate for a publisher to get a reputation for that sort of thing.
Yeah, and what sucks is they have some really great ideas and really great production values and some excellent games, but when you have a great game that's unplayable, you know, skydiving might be really fun, but if my parachute breaks... I'm probably not going to want to do it.
Yes. Well, now you see the relationship between sales and game quality.
Yeah. All right. Well, again, on that note, we get to take another break. We'll be back after this.
Yeah.
And I think we might enter into some reader mail, or are we going to talk about this a little bit more?
Yeah, we got some reader and listener mail.
Oh, some stuff.
Oh yeah, all listener mail.
Some people read. You know, we have our...
Do we transcribe the show?
Yeah. We got a transcript for our deaf listeners.
I'm going to do a little role-playing with Rich, and we're going to hear Rich defend himself a little bit because we got a wonderful piece of mail directed at him.
This should be interesting.
We're going to go to break. We'll be back after this.
Number one. Woohoo!
And we are back once again, the Chatterbox Video Game Radio crew. My name is Alon.
My name is Rich.
And my name is Ara. See, I
he gotcha.
I preempted his exuberance because I knew he was going to do it, so I might as well just wait.
You know what's great? We were talking about games that, you know, you decide are rubbish. Rich, super excited about every game he reads about until it actually releases.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, that game.
Yeah. Hype's a lot more fun than actually playing it.
So your excitement about Rock Band better not go away.
No, that's impossible.
I pre-ordered 2 copies because I know it's going to be hard to get.
Because I know that game's going to be amazing.
So who's got your second copy?
Someone.
Is it me?
If you want to buy
it's
it.
It's me, yeah, I want to buy it.
Really? Now you're going to buy a game
that
costs $200?
It's me.
It's $170.
$185 after tax, biatch.
Well, I'm just saying, retail is $169.99.
Yeah. Anyway.
So all right.
Hopefully we'll have it on
Tuesday. We'll have a conversation.
All right, so
what were we talking about?
To get them, but we want to talk about some listener mail.
Oh, okay.
Before we do that, actually, I want to make sure we mention, this is something we brought up a couple weeks ago, Xbox Live is turning 5.
Yeah.
5 years old, and I guess
Happy
they're celebrating.
Happy birthday.
The All Games community has tried to celebrate this as well. We want to all recognize
tried.
As a group Xbox Live's 5th anniversary, and I play on Xbox Live all the time playing Catan, but one game that I've been wanting to get for the longest time is Carcassonne, but basically I'm too cheap. Even though Microsoft gave me Xbox Live points,
yeah,
I still haven't plunked down to buy Carcassonne. And to
it's
celebrate...
good thing you waited.
And your stinginess has paid off, hasn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
Because it's going to be free to download.
And then you can buy the expansion for it.
Yeah, and I'll download it to the memory card that I have and download it to the system. And I'll download it to Johnny's system.
Yep.
And you'll download... Well, I'll have it.
I'll download it.
I'll totally be downloading it tonight.
Gamer tag.
Fantastic. So,
it's free.
Are you still running off my free month of Xbox Live?
Oh, yes. That actually just expired.
Did it? So now you're paying your $6.99 or whatever?
No, I'm not paying anything
like,
right
so
now.
It looks like you won't be downloading it then.
Well, I was thinking about actually like ponying up some money and actually paying for a service, but we'll see what happens.
All right. So Xbox Live turns 5, and Carcassonne, one of the better games on it, is going to be free for, I think, 48 hours.
I thought it was one day.
According to Joystick, it was 48 hours.
All right.
So
it's
starting
I don't read
Thursday.
Numbers.
The 15th is the big day, which is 2 days from now. So, for one, don't forget to download Carcassonne, because it's a good game. I doubt the expansions are going to be free, but anyway.
We should all email Bill Gates and say happy birthday, Xbox Live.
Do we have a favorite Xbox Live arcade game? I mean, Geometry Wars and Catan are my big ones. I played poker for the longest time, but I haven't played in forever at this point. Although we're looking forward to an all-games poker tournament soon.
You
I'd
know
probably
what?
Say...
I'm decidedly... disappointed in Xbox Live selection. I'll have to admit.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know.
No,
dude,
I'm not.
Pac-Man
some of the best
is,
games are on it.
The Pac-Man on Xbox Live is actually really fun when I played that.
The newest one you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, the newest one, like the whole full new whatever, super awesome flashy lights and stuff.
Yeah, actually that's I heard
really
that was
fun.
Totally awesome.
It was actually really cool.
I haven't played it yet
it
though.
That
cool.
And the Prince of Persia Classic is actually a lot of fun as well.
Crap.
When I played that.
Have we all forgotten about the
I
Pac-Man
really
that
it.
Released on the GameCube as like a special free disc where you
yeah.
can actually play as the ghost?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
I
you
played
had to have the GBA connections and everybody hated it because it was a terrible idea.
No, it was great.
Well, it was fun, but you had to buy 3 GBAs and link cables.
Oh, come
play.
On. Like between
or,
the three
or
of us.
Or you just have friends
well,
that
I'm
are
saying,
big enough dorks and
I'm
then you don't have to
it's
buy anything.
It's the same reason why the Crystal Chronicles was terrible because you
no,
have
that was terrible
people.
For another reason.
Well, the whole link cable thing didn't work out as well as they planned.
All right. Anyway. I'm happy to celebrate Xbox Live's 5th anniversary because they're giving me a free game that I really want.
Yeah!
So that's pretty killer. And like I said, also looking towards forward to an all-games poker tournament, which is going to be fun. We're not sure when that's going to happen. I didn't really sign you two guys up.
Wow, that sounds sweet.
Thanks, Alon.
I did mention, they asked who the primary player is because they want one person, so I said, that'll be me.
All
but
right.
if you need an extra one because they said we might need other people, I said, I think my co-host Ara would be into playing the poker.
I would be into that, yes.
So... anyway, we're looking forward to that. And, of course, the 5th anniversary comes out on Thursday. I'm going to download some Carcassonne, and everybody else should, too, because then we can play some Chatterbox Carcassonne tournaments. I assume it's online.
Yeah.
You can definitely play multiplayer on one system, which
yeah,
is cool.
Yeah, it's online.
Right. But even more important than Xbox Live is our listener mail.
Ooh.
And we got
reader
a message.
Mail?
Which
I
we cherish.
Reader mail.
We cherish all our messages.
I'm the reader of the mail, and it really is listener mail. So... what's funny to me is that the person who wrote this wrote it very much in the style of Rich. And I don't know if he did it on purpose or if they're just twins. Or if this is a brother of yours or something. Forgive me, though, as I've mentioned in the past, reading the messages that people send us is sometimes difficult, although this one is kind of well put together, at least in terms of grammar that's not intentionally messed up. All right, so Kenny asks, why is Rich made of total failure? And so I'm going to want you to respond to this. This is important stuff.
Okay.
So longtime listener, big fan of Ara's convolutedly woven rants of delicious.
I very much appreciate that sentiment.
But where did you find this Rich guy?
Especially the convoluted part.
Oh, right. Now I remembered that you fished him out of the frenzied and no doubt impressive Riverdance session in the toilet stall of UAT's men's room. I enjoy me some good meaty rants, as I've alluded to, but Rich is just a tactless fanboy troll. He's dragging the show down. Constantly trolling Sony is fine, as Sony and boneheadedness goes hand in hand, like Hooker and gonorrhea. But man, his delivery is so witless and obtuse, like a Space Muppets gorilla hitting rocks with a hammer made of rock. Exempli gratia, the topic about Sony dropping backward compatibility in PS3, was a ripe opportunity for some delightful savagery. But all he does is repeatedly mutter, "Sony always lie, Sony always lie," like some junked up schizo in a loony bin.
Maybe, was that like your impression of like Titus in Final Fantasy, was it like 9 or 10 or whatever?
This is one of my concerns, Rich.
Yeah.
You get all excited about things up front, and then when it comes down to it, we're recording, and you
I don't know.
You fall short.
I wimp out. I don't know what it is. The microphone intimidates me.
Well, he's calling you out.
He's calling me out.
And you're going to need to step up and start contributing
all right.
to this forum that is Chatterbox.
What should I say exuberantly?
I don't know. Apparently, talking about them dropping backwards compatibility in the PS3 was a ripe opportunity for delightful savagery.
That was...
We're just going to have to shoot
you
up with
bigger mistakes than that, though. I mean,
like offering me $1,200 for a PS3 I could find at a store?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of dumb that they dropped it, but...
One thing I actually was considering about the PS3 recently, and we're not done with this, by the way.
Okay.
Is, like, no one stopped to think everyone's complaining about the price. It's now finally at the same price point, essentially, as the Xbox 360.
Elite.
Well, I mean, $350 for the Xbox 360 Premium, $450 for the Elite. You can get a PS3
for $400.
For $400, you know, with the hard drive and the Blu-rays and all that.
But it's not even about price anymore. It's about the fact that the PS3 doesn't have any fun games, or maybe it might have two fun exclusives.
As Virtua Fighter 5.
Oh yeah.
Although
boy.
That's now been shown up by the 360 version.
Yep.
Which has online play.
It pretty much comes down to if it's on both systems, it's 95% guaranteed to be better on the 360.
Well, we're all continuously just in, I don't even know how to describe it, just awe at how horrible their online store system is.
Oh, yeah.
Download stuff.
I still can't even comprehend its existence.
But that's like a tiny gripe, because really I think it should be more an issue of the games that you're playing.
I don't know. The PlayStation Network's a pretty big gripe. It's significant. Because, I mean, Microsoft has put so much effort into Live and the whole setup. And granted, it's not the perfect system, but, like, look at what Xbox Live was 5 years ago and look at what it is today. They've made
I'll remind you, Xbox Live did not exist five years ago.
Okay, 5 years ago minus 2 days. All right, there we go. So, like, I mean,
come on, dude, Mechasol,
just look what they've done in the last 5 years. Like, go onto your Xbox and play, like, Halo 2 or even before that, whatever, Crimson Skies, and, like, remember what it was like connecting to games on that. And now look at the fact that you can download games, like, demos, full games on Xbox Live Arcade. The online system's a lot better. The gamertag system's better. But, like, Sony could just copy that entirely and just change a few things, but they ignore it entirely and make a really crappy HTML web page that you can move the mouse around with a joystick on a controller and click buttons. And it's just the entire concept of their online was just a terrible idea.
All right, I have an idea. I think we need to give Rich an opportunity to redeem himself. And I think on a subsequent upcoming show, I think that we should ask Rich to prepare an exciting, dynamic presentation on his favorite subject relating to video games.
On my favorite subject?
Yeah. You can, like, what, you know, like, pretend like you're like Hulk Hogan, act like a wrestler if you have to.
Hannah Montana.
I don't like Hulk Hogan, though.
You know?
No.
Or, like, what about, you know, Macho Man Randy Savage.
All right, getting back. Show 197, which was some show recently. I've lost track at this point.
Brother, I'll teach you to ignore me.
His metabolism is fueled by Sony hate juice, but when the conversation turned to the stupidity of Xbox 360 core and patching BS, he totally turns into the Natch side of Microsoft's biz. 512 megabyte memory card can fit two patches. Tisk, tisk. Truly shameful display of cheek-spreading fanboyism. I don't even know what he's talking
about.
Okay, I don't
know. Now this has become completely incomprehensible.
I don't know.
We heard about the core and how
the core system
was
the worst
idea possible,
but...
Yeah, but you're like, oh, you can get the 512 memory card.
It was, I might have said in a sarcastic tone.
You did.
But not...
I'm with you there. I don't know what
enough. I don't know. I think the core system was a terrible idea. I think taking the hard drive out of the 360 was Microsoft's biggest mistake with it.
I agree with you, but our listener seems to think that if the PS3 had a version without a hard drive, you would have ripped Sony a new one like a champion of consumer rights instead of being a weaselly defender of consumer rapage. So I think he got the wrong idea of what you were saying. So to clarify, your position on Xbox removing or Microsoft removing the hard drive from Xbox 360.
Terrible idea. Extremely terrible idea.
Can we say that with some happiness or
something? It was quite possibly the worst idea ever.
Let's give it some flavor. Let's try that again.
Come on. Get angry, man.
Rich, you're on the radio.
The Hulk.
All right. We're in
you're turning
office
green.
In your house, actually.
Get angry.
I'm not on the radio.
Get mad.
Okay, all so right. What am I saying?
Explode! How,
you are totally made a failure at this
okay.
point.
Okay.
I wanted to hear some excitement.
Come on, all Rich, right. explode!
Email validated.
He did. He complains your coverage of E for All was patheticer.
Well, patheticer. Were you there? It was. It wasn't that exciting.
He said it, basically saying it was more pathetic, although he used the word patheticer.
Yes.
Than the convention itself. I gotta say, it was a little weak sauce. We devoted a segment to it.
I apologize that E for All was. Very uneventful, and so I had not much to say about it.
Nobody having sex in bathrooms of hotel rooms during E for All? Just,
No. Nothing.
Just
really.
E3.
All right, I think we're going to need to kick Rich up a few notches.
Okay.
You know, so maybe before the show next time, you know, like, you know, we'll give you some, like, steroids or, like, testosterone or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe some speed, you know,
this,
PCP.
This guy's just, he's going on a rant,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah.
But Rich, I think we can kick it up. He does make a point, by the way, point-and-click adventure games. Here's a tip. Point and click.
Dude, you don't even understand. It doesn't work that way. It just you don't just point and click. You point and click, and then you keep clicking, and then you try to figure out what you're supposed to click. And then it's like, okay, that's not what I need to do. So you go click something else, and then some text comes up, and then it's like blah, 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 and it means nothing. And then you have to go figure out some puzzle by clicking on other stuff. It's the most convoluted gameplay I've ever, not ever, but
no.
in recent...
It's, you just never played King's Quest, man. You don't
I
understand.
Have, absolutely not, and I have no
oh, don't even get
desire
me started on those
to
games.
Play King's
don't
Quest.
Don't even go there. I'm going to bring out Macho Man Randy Savage if you want
to
go there.
All right. Well, this is a fine example of our listener mail that we like to attack once in a while, maybe every week, maybe not. But he does ask, by the way, if you played Gran Turismo 5 yet, which you just did the other day.
Yeah, we just did a few days ago, didn't we?
Yeah, we went over to play and trade.
Yeah, you know what's really interesting, actually, about that? Is that, you know, I've been playing PGR4 rather continuously, and I hadn't played Gran Turismo.
You had played
the
Gran Turismo HD at my house, but
yeah,
not
yeah.
the 5 Prologue.
But it's been a while, right, since I played any Gran Turismo anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm playing this demo, and, I mean, the first thing I notice is that, like, all the cars are slow. And I'm like, okay, they got, like, the Nissan, like, you know, GTR, whatever, which actually is, like, in real life, like, 400-some horsepower it's going to be. But, like, on the scale of, like, you know, high-speed cars, they're, like... They're not that fast, right? So I was actually, like, really surprised because I was like, wow, you know what? Compared to PGR, right, this feels, like, kind of slow and relatively unresponsive, which really surprised me.
But
that's
it's really not
we
supposed
it,
to be like...
You love it. You were like, look at the G meter. It's got G.
No, I just thought it was cool.
It's
there
not
was
supposed
G
to
meter.
Be like PGR4, though. It's more of the simulation racing, right? Gran Turismo?
No, see, that's crap. That's...
Well, PGR4 is not...
Ara is not convinced that you can
Project Gotham
racing
is not realistic in any sense.
And
or
actually...
attempt to be.
Actually, neither is...
Neither is Gran Turismo.
And that's not a bad thing, and there's nothing wrong with
that. But they try to be the realistic racing simulation or whatever.
No, they don't, actually.
That's kind of always what they've touted.
Yeah, see, what they do is they market it that way, but that's clearly not what they're doing.
But that's what they're saying they're trying to do.
That's how they're framing it for the consumer.
Gran Turismo is more comparable to Forza.
Now, Forza is like a straight-up simulation, like hardcore,
and it
like,
does it right.
We don't care about ergonomics. We don't care about the fact that you have a controller in your hand and not like actual real car pedals.
Yeah.
And we don't care that you're not a robot.
You know, I have the pedals and steering wheel for Forza downstairs, right?
Yeah, but this is completely different. I mean, these $50 plastic steering wheels do not really give you the experience.
I think it was like $130.
Okay, even still, right? Here's my problem, and I've voiced this before. You know, something like Forza is such a hardcore straight-up simulation that doesn't take into account the things that you need to take into account when you're designing a video game, namely that the fact that you have a very different interface and you don't get all the feedback mechanisms that you would in real life if you were driving a car.
When you say that, I'm reminded of the fact that you don't even use the analog triggers when you're playing a racing game.
I prefer not to. There's several reasons for that. One of which is, besides the fact that, you know, I feel like I can actually more precisely modulate, you know, the gas and brake without using the triggers, I think it's absolutely ridiculous for a game to ask you to modulate this trigger where, okay, what's the range of motion on this trigger? It's like a centimeter. It's actually, I think, less than a centimeter on the 360, for example, and probably even less than that on the PS3. And this is a kind of input that, you know, on a real car, you have a range of motion of what? Probably about half a foot, right? Like maybe about 6 inches, maybe more than that, right? So to ask the player to modulate that with the same amount of precision that they can modulate their foot through such a wide degree.
You're using your finger versus your foot, though.
Yes.
You have more fine motor skill in your finger than you do in your foot.
I would actually wager that you have even less because of...
What?
No, absolutely, because first of all, right, now that if you want to take it there, I'll go there. Okay,
first of all,
you know, you're using your index finger, right? Now, the ligaments in your index finger are actually connected to your other fingers, so when you move your index finger, your other fingers move, okay? So that makes it more difficult to modulate, especially when you're trying to modulate something else with your thumb, where the ligaments are actually connected to your other fingers.
I can move my pointer finger without my other fingers.
Yeah, shut up, Rich, he's right.
Your thumb's moving.
I can't move my pinky without moving my other fingers.
Trust me, it's not the same.
I know.
Okay, so the point is that you can't have the same degree of control with the controller. You just can't, right? So if you're a smart game developer like Polyphony Digital with Gran Turismo, you realize this limitation of the input method, and you correspondingly, you know, make your game in a certain way so that you don't, you know, you don't just map it straight up. You know, you make some kind of accommodations and considerations for this. Or you take the Microsoft route with Forza and you say, oh, we don't care. You should be a robot. And, you know, we ask you to make these kinds of, like, ridiculously fine adjustments. The other thing that's very interesting that, you know, anybody who's astute enough will notice is that on racing games, 90% of the time, almost even more than that, actually, right? You're either on the gas completely, or you're off the gas completely, or you're on the brake completely, or off it completely. There's really, like, very few points in time where you're actually kind of modulating somewhere in between, partially because it's so hard to. And actually, another interesting thing is when you're actually in racing, most of the time in racing, you're either on the gas all the way or on the brake all the way. And really, the only times where you're in between is, like, when you're on, like, a certain type of turn that's, like, really big and you need to, like, sustain a certain amount of throttle, or you're just making sure that your transitions between the brake and the throttle are smooth. So you don't really need to have a lot of that middle positioning, actually.
Awesome.
I mean, I agree with you.
So
when I play racing games, I'm usually all on or all off.
Right, so...
Yeah.
But when I'm driving a car... Not so much.
Well, yes, but also when you're driving the car on the street, you're not going for maximum, you know, acceleration either.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why I suck.
Well, I mean, you drive
games.
A Prius though, so I mean, you're not going for instant speed.
How's your car tonight, buddy?
Huh?
Who had to drive you here tonight?
Hey, the battery's charging.
You could have walked your ass to my house.
Yeah, no. It was a lot easier for you to come pick me up.
All right, so that's my spiel on racing games.
Okay, that's fine. And this is a great time for us to stop, actually. We've had three extended segments rather than four limited segments today, so this is where we're going to end the show. But, of course, before we go, we want to remind everybody, hit up chatterboxgameshow.com to learn more about our show.
Email.
Because it has no new information.
Yes, well, that is unfortunately true. Also, of course, continue to send us mail. We've got a couple that we didn't get to. Somebody wants us to talk about the PSP, and another wants us to discuss Rock Band and playing the drums in Rock Band. Now, of course, Rock Band will be out the day of our next show, next Tuesday. It'll be actually available. Although, actually...
You're not going to be in town, are you? Or are you?
I am.
You
I
are?
Leave next Wednesday night.
Okay.
A birdie told me that they're actually getting them in advance.
Ooh.
So we'll get them
so
on release day
rather
than...
we're going to have a 24-hour Rock Band marathon, right?
Yeah, we won't have to wait for them to ship for a day and then get them on Tuesday, right? We can actually get it on Monday,
mm-hmm.
which... Or is Tuesday the release date?
Tuesday is the release
Crap.
Date, I think. Maybe it's Monday.
No,
I don't know,
it's
man.
It's the 20th, and today's the 13th.
Yep. I can see the veins bulging out of your forearm.
However it happens, we need to play as
Where
much
are we supposed
Rock
to get an early
possible.
Copy? What happened to this? Rich, I
think
you're
know,
hooking
man.
It up.
I don't know.
All right.
Workman
anyway,
fell through.
Rock Band next week. We're going to have to do the show instead of playing, apparently.
Hold up.
At least I don't have jury duty. But actually, that would be better, because I'd get off of work earlier. Get out of jury duty early. So... We're going to talk about some Rock Band in 2 weeks from now. We can discuss the drum tapping issue, which I don't think is a huge issue. Just put on some headphones.
We'll find
I have
out.
Solutions for that issue,
we'll
but we'll leave
out.
That for next time.
Yeah. And, of course, don't forget to go download Carcassonne this week. Hopefully, if you're listening to the show before Friday, you can go do that. Yay for Xbox Live. And is there anything else we need to cover or talk about for next week?
Can I talk about how Phantom Hourglass is a bad game next week?
Only if you're not a total bore.
Okay.
We talk about this week. How do you know when games suck? And you didn't once bring up Phantom Hourglass.
No, I was talking about the other topic, and
Which,
then.
By the way, I've heard plenty of great things about Phantom Hourglass.
I dislike the game very much.
Okay, Rich. No more Quaaludes before the show.
I'm just saying.
Gotta drop that hat.
I'm just saying the game is not fun. It's not enjoyable. It's the worst 3D Zelda game ever created.
Okay.
Out of what, four?
Well,
five.
Folks, I certainly hope you've enjoyed our extended podcast-only show this week. We will be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. And go to chatterboxgameshow.com to learn more.
Goodbye, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.